This is Cornerstone Baptist Church, a ministry built on faith, family, and fellowship. We now join the exciting teaching and preaching ministry of Pastor Dwight McKissick. Now, here's Pastor McKissick.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. I want to continue in our series today, How to Enter into the Presence of God. And we're calling this message today, again, the pathway into his presence. Repeat after me, the pathway into his presence. Can you think of a place that you'd rather be that would be more preferable to you than in the presence of God? Can you think of a place that would be more preferable to you that you'd rather be than in the presence of God? Now, that's just when the people come, just let them come on in. I want to show them what it's like to be late. I want them to miss half the sermon. I can't think of a place that's more preferable than the presence of God. And if I prefer a place more preferable than the presence of God, if there's some other place I'd rather be more so than in the presence of God, that means I'm in a carnal backslidden state. Something is wrong with my heart. Can you think of a person whose presence you'd rather be in more so than in the manifest presence of God? There are a lot of historical people and some contemporary people we'd like to meet and perhaps sit down with for 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, hang out with them for a day. But I can't think of one person, living or dead, that I'd rather be with more so than the manifest presence of God. May I suggest to you that everything we are searching for in life, such as security, provision, protection, pleasure, prosperity, peace, fulfillment, joy, and happiness, can ultimately and eternally only be found in the presence of God. If all of our needs are met and our joy is fulfilled in the presence of God, I'm back to the same question, and that is the question I've asked for the past three Sundays. And that question is, how then do I enter into the presence of God? Repeat that question after me. How do I enter into the presence of God? Very important question, because I'm convinced that when we want to get drunk, what we really want is the presence of God. We just don't know how to get there, so we get drunk. When we want to get high on cocaine, marijuana, crack, what we really want is the presence of God. We don't know how to get into his presence, so we go get crack, cocaine, and marijuana. When we want a one-night fling, or when we want to go to the strip bar, we want some crazy sexual episode, what we're really looking for is the presence of God. And we don't know how to get there, so we go do something real sinful and crazy and sometimes criminal, because we're looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. Jesus addressed this question in Matthew 22, verse 37. Turn there, please. How many know you can learn to live with a little? You can learn to be content with what you have. I went to get my license plate renewed the other day, and they bought me a whole new metal plate. I said, why? They said, your car is over 7 years old. You know your car is old when they bring you a new plate. And I had to go get my car fixed shortly thereafter. And while I was waiting to get my car fixed, a couple of salespeople recognized me from different churches and invited me to the showroom floor. And I must admit, they had my car that I really like ready to roll. And for a minute, I got tempted, and then I thought about down, boy. How many know that ain't nothing but the flesh? You can go somewhere intending to get your car fixed, and if you don't have the presence of God, you can walk out of there with a $65,000 bill. And a lot of us have made major and not so major financial decisions just on a whim like that. When really, if you're in the presence of God, it really takes care of everything else. What more could you want? What more? Jesus said, all your joy is fulfilled. Your pleasures are forevermore. Jesus said, I've come that you might have full joy. Now, if my joy is filled with Jesus, I don't need a new car to be joyful. If my joy is filled with Jesus, I don't need Judy or James to be joyful. If my joy is filled with Jesus, my bank account don't even have to be full in order for me to have joy. But my joy is filled in the presence of Jesus. I've been studying a little bit on this whole Tartar piece has messed me up. And I'm going to go on to Barack today, but I keep digging more in the Tartar. And I wish I had time. I've become convinced, and I've consulted some scholars and commentators, that one of the translations of the word Tartar is thank offering. And thank offering. And I was didn't know whether that was just an expression of praise or if it was actually a literal gift. I've discovered it's both. Tartar is praise by confession of sin. Tartar is a sacrifice with the extending of the hands so something can get in your hands and so you can get something out of your hands. Tartar is also thanksgiving, the fruit of your lips rendering thanksgiving to God, but I've discovered that Tartar is also literally an offering. And if I had time, I'd show you in 2 Chronicles 29, it's an offering prompted by the Spirit. It's not a planned offering. It's an offering that the Spirit just move on your heart and say, give. And you can give it to a person, you can give it to a ministry, you can give it to wherever the Spirit says, give. As I was praying and brooding over this total offering this week, I ended up with a blessing. I hadn't got it in my hands yet, but I'm claiming. I so much believe it, I'm going to give on it, though I don't have it. And that is, in my neighborhood, the time had expired for them to dig the oil or the gas in my neighborhood. And so they had to come back and ask everybody in the neighborhood to get a new lease on the digging rights. And in the process, they have promised me not a big, big check, but from where I'm from in Arkansas, it's a pretty decent sized check. And so I told my wife, I just want to get a Lord. I've been studying about this Tartar offering. This was in my heart before God made the provision, but now that God has made the provision, I'm going to give an offering to the building fund today because I want to retire this mortgage. I'm trying to retire my mortgage at the house too, but I believe if I sow into God's mortgage, God is sowing into my mortgage. And I'm going to give another offering to the Cornerstone Academy because I want to invest in the future generations, amen? I believe one generation ought to educate, one generation ought to praise thy name to another. And so I'm going to show you in 2 Chronicles 29 where that was a total offering that was a willing heart of the Spirit where God just said, give. And so when you obey God in giving, how many of you know that'll take you closer to the presence of God? There's something special about a gift. This necktie I'm wearing is a gift from my dear friend, Etzel Duras. And you can call, he has a French background, a Haitian background. You can call both of us gay, but you know, French people, they kiss. And people say, "Ooh, Pastor, I hate to see you kissing me." And say what you want, think what you want. Bible said, greet each other with a what? A holy kiss. I can prove 4 or 5 times I'm not gay. At least 4, I take that back. And I don't have to prove it to nobody else. Have I got a witness? One woman know I'm not gay, and the rest of it don't matter. Have I got a witness? But Brother Dewitt, he gave me this gift, and we exchanged kisses. So that make the gift special. This is my favorite Bible, and it was getting all ragged and tore up, and I didn't know where. Well, I lose it half the time, and it was gone. I got so many Bibles. I was using other Bibles. But Eugene Thompson, went and stole my Bible and got it all pretty and covered up. My old, y'all praise the Lord. And I told him when he I didn't know he had my Bible. He brought my Bible. I said, "Man, I would kiss you, but you might think I'm Eddie Long if I kiss you." Take that off the tape. Take that off. But thank you, Reverend Thompson. Much respect to you. It's something about a gift. It's something about a gift that puts your heart closer to the one that you give it to. There's something mystical happen. There's something spiritual happen. There's something unusual happen in the process of giving a gift. Your heart draws closer. My heart is closer to Reverend Eugene Thompson. My heart is closer to Esther Dewitt because of the gift. And because I'm going to give God a total gift this morning, I already told my wife, I'm going to give God a sacrificial gift because he blessed me with some money I wasn't even looking for. And how many of you know that my heart will be closer to God and God will draw closer to me? He says, if you draw nigh unto him, he will do what? Draw nigh unto you. Matthew 22, turn there, verse 37. Jesus said, to this lawyer, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Now, listen to what Jesus says here. According to this verse, the whole of one's life is to be an act of worship to the Lord. This is implied by the command to love the Lord with the heart, soul, and what? Mind. Love God. He says, the greatest commandment, greater than being president of the United States, greater than getting a PhD, greater than earning $100,000 a year. The greatest commandment, he said, is to love God. That supersedes everything else. And what I like about that, you don't have to be rich to love God. You don't have to have a doctorate degree to love God. He says, the whole of one's life is to be an act of worship. Let me hear you say an act of worship. That's why we're here for, to worship God in spirit and in truth. This is implied by the command to love the Lord with the heart, soul, and mind. What Jesus was saying is, God is to be loved with all our powers and faculties, and that nothing is to be preferred to him. The worship of God should be a priority in a believer's life. Entering into the presence of God ought to be a priority in the believer's life. Jesus taught us to love God with our entire being. That's worship. And God said in Proverbs, turn to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. You need to read this. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. Repeat after me. Listen to what the Lord says. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Now, we say, doesn't God love everybody? Yes, he does. But God says, but those who seek me, those who pursue me, those who pant after me, those who love me, who search for me with all their heart, I got some love I'm going to pour out on them that I don't pour out on everybody else. And that's going to be my presence and everything that comes with it. How many of you want God to love you back in a special way? God says, you're going to have to love me through seeking me. You're going to have to love me through worship. God said, and if you love me, he says, look at the end of that verse. He says, they will find me. Those who seek me diligently, seek me, who pursue, who press toward me, who those who enter into my presence, he says, they're going to do what? Find me. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. Ask and it shall be given. You want a closer walk with God? Ask. If you want God to show up in your affairs, you can't be passive about worship. You can't be lukewarm or nonchalant about worship. He says, for those who diligently seek him, they will experience an intimacy and greater manifestation of his love than those who are passive and nonchalant and lukewarm in their private and public worship. If you want God to show up in your affairs, and I don't know about you, I need God to show up. If I'm going to pay off my mortgage at my house, I need a miracle. I need God to show up. If I'm going to be healthy, I need God to show up. If my marriage is not only just going to be two people living in the house without killing each other, but it's going to be harmony and peace and love and joy, I need God to show up in my marriage. I need God to show up in my finances. I need God to show up in my parenting. I need God to show up in my health. I need God to show up on my job. How many of you need God to show up? God says, the way you get me to show up, the way you find me is to seek me, to worship me. If you want God to arrange and rearrange things, somebody need God to rearrange a court situation. Somebody need God to rearrange a job situation. Somebody need God to rearrange a pending divorce situation. Somebody need God to show up and arrange and rearrange things. He said, if you want God to intervene in your life in an unusual way, as only he can, the Bible says God is ready to pour out a special extra measure of his love on those who seek his presence. So the key question again is, how do I love God? As Jesus said, with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, how do I love God on his terms and in a manner that's pleasing to him? If I ask how many love the Lord today, everybody will raise their hand. But the question is, are you loving him the way he wants to be loved? Some of us who studied the love languages know that you can love a person based on your value system, but if like my wife loved acts of service because her daddy could fix light bulbs and car. Her daddy was a handyman. She wanted me to be a fixing man. I ain't your daddy. I'm your lover, your husband. But whenever you catch, I empty trash before I left house. When you catch me emptying trash, you catch me cleaning up the garage, you catch me doing act of service, that don't come natural to me, but that's me loving her on her terms. It don't matter if I love her. I just love her. Here, $300, I love you. That's how I love, but she'd rather see me cut the grass than give her $300. Because of her, God bless daddy. Lord have mercy. I know I'm saved because I love my mother-in-law and my father-in-law. Amen. So God simply asked for three things. Here's God said, if you want to love me on my terms, not on your terms. You see, one of the ways God said you love me, you bring an offering and come into the courts. I'm bringing God a total because he's revealing some stuff for me. You want me to innovate? You want me to pay off your mortgage at your house? And you by faith. See, I don't even have the check yet. They just promised me the check. It's supposed to come Tuesday, but I can't wait to Tuesday. I'm going to go ahead. I ain't going to bounce no check, but I'm going to go ahead out of my savings and go ahead and pay God anyhow. Because I want to love him not on my terms, but on his terms. And he says, one of the ways you told on me is to bring an offering. Above the tithing offering. It's a thank offering. I got to thank God for giving me an extra check I'm not even expecting. Thank God they were late. Thank God they didn't do what they were supposed to do. Thank God they didn't go ahead and drill the gas, because now they got to come back and pay me again. You ought to shout over my blessing. You ought to thank God for my blessing, because yours is on the way. Yours is on the way. God arrange and rearrange things if you love him. I was rooting for Pittsburgh in the Super Bowl. Primarily for two reasons. One, I grew up watching Jim Brown, and I just met some folk who know Jim Brown's blocking guard, John Wooden, but Jim Brown was my favorite football player. After church every Sunday, we go home and watch Jim Brown. Jim Brown, the only man I see take the ball and run 13 yards backwards. The ball was cold-blooded. And I love a good running game. I love running team. Nowadays, everybody just want to throw the ball. You got to throw it something, but I love a team that run. And Pittsburgh run the ball. Even when Chuck Knoll was their coach, they call him Ground Chuck, because he's going to keep the ball on the ground. Hand it to Franco Harris. They got a strong running game. Darrell Royal says he'd rather run than pass, because he says if you pass the ball, he says only three things could happen and two of them not good if you pass it. So your odds are better succeeding running than pass. So I was for Pittsburgh because I like their style of play. And then if I be honest, I was for Pittsburgh because I wanted to see that coach succeed. I wanted to see that coach win his second Super Bowl. I didn't get a chance to shake his hand, but I was in a meeting where he was. He just come across as a nice fella. He's a Christian brother. Dr. Evans just did a chapel for Pittsburgh while they were town, because he's a Christian. So I wanted to see him succeed. But the Super Bowl really boiled down to a battle of the quarterbacks. Did you hear what I just said? The Super Bowl boiled down to a battle of the quarterbacks. Now, what I didn't know about Green Bay's quarterback is that he is a man that know how to enter into the presence of God. I didn't know until I read about him later and I heard his testimony. This man has a genuine, authentic walk and relationship with Jesus Christ. And he has a walk with God that he's willing to put on display. How many know, let the redeemed of the Lord say so? When you enter into his presence, you got to be willing to say so. I'm not saying the other quarterback didn't have a walk with God. I don't know much about that. I know he got somewhat of a checkered history, but could it be that God gave the Super Bowl to the one that was going to give him the most glory? Make me feel a little bit better anyhow. Jesus won. If the Pittsburgh didn't win, amen. Because Aaron Rodgers' testimony is off the chain. So how do I love God on his terms? Three things, and I hear it. Number one, you come into his presence. If you want to love God on his terms, with what? Let me say thanksgiving. That's that word tota. Just let me say a couple of quick things about that, and I'll move on. Thanksgiving is from the Hebrew word tota. It means to give thanks for the price Jesus paid for your salvation. That's how you enter to his gates, giving thanks. The forgiveness of your sins and the fact he provided you with access or gateway into his presence. Ephesians 2 says, by him we have access to the throne room of God. We can't get to God except we come through Jesus. So you enter into his presence by by coming in through Jesus. You come into God's presence by acknowledging the person and work of Christ as it relates to the confession and the forgiveness of your sins. That's how you come into his presence. Jesus said, I am the door. What do you do through a door? You walk through it. John 10, 7. He said, if you're going to get into the presence of God, you got to walk through the door of Jesus Christ. In other words, you cannot get to God as Savior or get to God in worship, his manifest presence, unless you come through Jesus. You must come in by the door. Turn while we're in Psalms, chapter 2, verse 12. Here's what you got to do. You got to come in by the door. Psalms 2:12 says, listen to what it said. Repeat it after me. Kiss the Son. How do you get in? You got to come in by kissing the Son. Why are you kissing him? Because he died for you. Why are you kissing him? Because he gave his life for you. Why are you kissing him? Because he shed his blood for you. Why are you kissing him? Because you wouldn't be saved without him. Why are you kissing him? It's like an American Express card. Don't leave home without him. God, why are you kissing him? Because he is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Kiss the Son, lest he be what? You don't want him angry at you. And you perish in his way. There's going to be some difficulties in your life if you don't come in through the door, if you don't enter into his presence, if you don't go by the Son. His wrath can be kindled but a little, but blessed are all those who put their trust in him. So when you say enter into his gate with thanksgiving, it's coming by the door, it's kissing the Son, it's confessing and acknowledging your sins and thanking Jesus for the fact that your sins are covered in the blood. If we are to enter into the presence of God, we must first render thanksgiving for his Son. Turn now to Hebrews chapter 10. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Begin reading at verse 19. Hebrews. Some feminists got a hold of the Bible and they wanted to rename this Hebrews. Well, we're going to call it Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter, and that's what we're trying to do, enter into the presence of God. How do I get there? You enter the holiest by what? You enter into his gates with total, with thanksgiving. That means you got to stop by the blood. Deal with your sins. Thank God for the forgiveness of your sins. Thank you, because we know on our own we ain't got no business talking to God. All the lies we've told, all the cheating we've done, all the apathy we've engaged in, all our sins, we don't deserve to get to a holy God. But if we come by Jesus, God said, I'll let you get in. You enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is in his flesh. We got a new way now. We got a living way. We don't no longer have to slaughter bulls, goats, and heifers to get to the Holy of Holies, to get into the presence of God. We have to bring an offering. We have to come into his courts. We have to enter his gates with thanksgiving. We got a better way in having a high priest over the house of God. Jesus is not a high priest. You don't have to go in a confession booth and tell your sins to the priest and he tell them to God. He moved the veil that separated the priest, where only the priest could go in. And when he died on the cross, the veil in the temple was rent in twain. So now I don't have to go and tell the priest my sin. How many know I can go straight to Jesus Christ? Because he was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquities. Because of that, in verse 22, he said, let us draw near. I'm talking about entering into his presence. Let us get closer. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. See, that's what you do at the total level. You come in, you enter into the gate. You're at the gate. You're not in the inside yet. You're just at the gate. But you get your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. Yes, we've said and done something to everything over the history of our lives, but I have to remind myself it's under the blood. I got a clear conscience before God because I've confessed it, and the Bible says he will be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse it of all unrighteousness. So you still feeling bad about something you shoplifted 20 years ago, and God imposes amnesia upon himself. He says, shoplifted what? In other words, God have forgotten about it, because how many know he said he'll cast your sins where? In the sea of forgiveness, and hang up a sign saying no fishing. See, we like to fish in each other's sin bank. Child, I remember when. Don't let him fool you. Don't let her fool you. Girl, I could tell you some things. We like to go fishing in each other's histories. But God chooses. Aren't you? Somebody ought to shout that God chooses not to go back on your past, not to go back on your yesterday. He casts your sins in the sea of forgiveness. As far as the east is from the west, he removes your sins from you. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walketh not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. Him that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God through Christ. God demonstrated his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us, for we are now more than conquerors. Everybody's more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus that loved us. That's why you got to come in with Torah, man. You got to come by the door, come by Jesus. Get the sprinkling of the blood on your life. Because we overcome by the word of our testimony and the what? The blood of the Lamb. And then he said, let us hold fast this confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. No wonder Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:15, you don't have to turn there, but he said, thanks be unto God. Repeat that after me. Thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. That's how I come in. I enter into his gates thanking God for his gift of salvation, for the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. The old folk used to pray, Lord, I thank you for your darling son, Jesus. Because as soon as you said Jesus, you just open up the ears of God. Jesus is the pass room to the throne room of God. He's the password. No matter how extensive your vocabulary may be, you still can't adequately describe Jesus. He's more than wonderful. He's more than marvelous. The best way to describe him is to join the angels and just simply call him holy. Holy is his name. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. Hallowed be thy name. That's how you enter in. When Jesus taught us to pray, he said, the first thing you say is, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's Torah. You coming in by the name of Jesus. You're giving thanks and praise for his name. Secondly, if you want to come into his presence, it's not only with a thanks offering or with Torah and with everything that Torah means, but secondly, it's to come into his presence with praise. That Hebrew word there is tehillah. Let me say tehillah. Now, thanksgiving or Torah gets you into the gate. Enter into his gates with Torah or with thanksgiving. You don't want to just stop at the gate, amen? If you call yourself going to the football game at Cowboy Stadium, you just don't want to stop as soon as you get inside the gate of the entrance. You want to get into the arena, amen? So Torah gets you into the gates. But there is a second step, and that is the outer court. Praise or tehillah will take you from the gate to the outer court. Anybody want to go from the gate to the outer court today? Now, tehillah or praise in this verse, into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with tehillah, praise. This means a song or a hymn of praise. It's based on the root word that means laudation. You can say it or sing it. You know you're in love when you start singing. If you ever get somebody to start singing about you or to you, or thinking of you when they sing, that's love. Have I got a witness? Tehillah speaks of a praiseworthy quality of a person or thing. We find this word tehillah, turn to Psalms 40, verse 3. Psalms 40, verse 3. 3. Here it is right here. Here's the concept of Tehillah. It says, David said, he has put a new song in my mouth. Not only if you can start folks to sing, if they can make up a song. I've been singing a song to my wife. She get tired of hearing. She said, you need to learn a new line. But I said, Vera is my girl in all the world. There's no one sweeter. That's the best I can do. But guess what? That's my song. That's my song. She's my girl in all the world. There's no one sweeter. He put a new song in my mouth. That's what praise, that word praise there is, it's Tehillah in the Hebrew, praise to our God. So it's now that you've entered into the gates with thanksgiving, now you're ready to just spend time with God and to Tehillah him, to sing to him, to speak of his goodness, to think of his goodness, to reflect on him. When you praise him, you will see him and fear, meaning you will revere him, you will reverence him, and you will trust the Lord, what Psalms 40 verse 3 says. It's all right to feel. That's what Tehillah is, when you feel your faith, when you feel your God. Some people minimize feelings. Christianity shouldn't be about feelings. But you know, God made us 1/3 emotional beings. God made us soul, heart beings. Our heart are the seat of our emotion. The old folk used to say, I wouldn't have a religion that I couldn't feel sometimes. I want to feel my God. I don't want a God that I can't experience. I don't want a God I can't feel. Love the Lord your God with your heart. Love is about feeling. When you stop feeling good about your mate, you'll stop loving them. So feelings are very important. What does your heart say to you about God? Oh, my heart says God is faithful. Isn't he faithful? And so if your heart says God is faithful, the Bible says even when we were not faithful, he remained faithful. When we backslid, God remained the same, amen. He was still faithful. And so if my heart says God is faithful, I might want to join the man who's saying, I'll call you faithful. Or I might want to say, great is thy faithfulness. What does your heart say? What does your heart say about God? Your heart says love. God so loved the world. I may want to just say it as a statement of Tehillah or praise. I may want to sing no greater love. I may want to quote the scriptures no greater love hath a man than this, that he would do what? Lay down his life for his friend. You know, the only somebody who might think about laying their life down for you may be your mama. And she had to think long and hard. But Tehillah means when I think of his goodness. He took the fall and thought of me. He went to prison for me. He went to jail for me. He suffered for me. And every time I think of that, it runs chills up my spine. I was in a meeting in Dallas yesterday, and a man began to sing, Lord, I hear of showers of blessing. Thou art scattering, Sister Ann, full and free. Not only, I sat there and cried. I felt kind of bad because how many know a cry sneak up on you sometimes? You didn't leave home planning to cry. This wasn't even a church meeting. It was a musician's meeting. It was a meeting of musicians where they sang some Negro spiritual, but they did secular music. They did all kind of music, but they also did some church music. And when they got to the church music part and they began to sing that hymn, Even Me, I wasn't so much at this point, I wasn't so much crying, thinking about the Lord or thinking about Jesus or thinking about the Holy Spirit. I began to think about my mama. And I said, the reason I love God today and the reason I love Jesus and the reason I love the Holy Spirit today is because of my mama. The reason I love that song, the reason that song brought joy and tear to my heart was because of my mama. The reason I can play that song today, Lord, I hear of showers of blessing. Thou art scattering full and free. Showers are thirsty, soul refreshing. Let some drops now fall I know that song because of my mama. I'm saved today because of my mama. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost today because of my mama. I love Jesus today because of my mama. I can give God a Zamah instrumental praise today because of my mama. So Tehillah means when I think of a blessing in my life. Anybody had a mama that was a blessing? Somebody ought to give God praise today for your mama. Some of y'all wouldn't be here today if it weren't for your mama. Some of y'all wouldn't be saved today if it weren't for your mama. Some of y'all would be in jail today if it weren't for your mama. Thank God for praying, mama. One reason I love Rodney Ford because his mama taught me in Sunday school. How many of you know you can not only give God praise for God, but there's a whole lot of other things and people and places you can give God praise for. Tehillah is God's spiritual medicine for whatever is ailing you. Turn to Isaiah 61, verse 1 right quick. Isaiah. Trying to hurry here. Chapter 61. Verse 3 is what I'm really after, but let's begin at verse 1, Isaiah. I want you to read this because sometimes the devil will inflict bouts of doubt and depression upon any of us. Jeremiah went through depression. John the Baptist went through depression. David went through depression. He said, "Why is my soul cast down?" I don't care how much faith you got, how much money you got. The devil can still attack you with depression. Even in the wilderness, he tried to depress Jesus, but Jesus fought back with the word of God. Listen to what Isaiah 61 says. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion." How is he going to console them? He's going to give them beauty for ashes. Somebody ought to shout. You might have ashes right now, but God said, "I'm going to give you beauty." How do I get that beauty? He said, "I'm going to give them the oil of joy for mourning." You may be mourning the loss of a job. You may be mourning the loss of a relationship. You may be mourning the loss of a friend. You may be mourning the loss of bad news in your life. But God said he's going to give you oil of joy for your mourning. And he's going to give you the garment of what? That word, Hebrew word there for praise is tehillah. He's going to give you the garment of Tehillah, a praise, and he's going to give it to you for what? The spirit of heaviness, for not aspirin, not Midol. He said, you can take all of that if you want to, and I take aspirin every day because the doctors say I ought to. But God said, if you got heaviness, if you got depression, and you want to be delivered from your depression, all you got to do is put on the praise garment. Put on Tehillah. But begin to praise God. Begin to speak of his goodness. Begin to celebrate his goodness. Begin to shout his goodness. Begin to think his goodness. Begin to give God glory. And the Bible says if you praise him, your depression will leave. How many know faith and worry can't live in the same house together? Either worry would drive away faith, or faith would drive away worry, but they ain't gonna stay together. So if I got weary and I want to get weary, all I got to do is start worshiping. And I worship him even when I don't know the outcome, amen. I'm not going to wait till the battle is over. I'm going to do what? I'm going to worship now. I'm going to shout now. So Tehillah is a medicine. You don't have to get drunk to get joy, just praise. If you're destitute, depressed, broke, or empty today, you ought to try entering to his courts with Tehillah, with praise. Now, once you enter with Todah and move into the outer court with Tehillah, now you've gotten rid of your sin. Now you've gotten rid of your depression. Now you're getting ready to go before the king. You don't want to go before the king sad, amen? Yeah, I mean, you got to work your way to the king. You've gone, Todah take you through Jesus. Tehillah take you through the Holy Spirit. Now you're ready to get to the throne of God himself. God said to come into the inner court. He says, come into the holy holies of where God's presence is manifest. And thirdly and finally, the way you come into his presence, the way you get to where God is, to get to the presence of God, God says you must come into his presence with, let me hear you say, a blessing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, Todah, into his courts with praise, Tehillah. Be thankful unto him and bless or barak. That word bless is barak. Barak his name. God says, come with him. When you come before the king, how many know you bring a what? A blessing. You're in the presence of the king. And so the root word here for barak in verse 4 means to kneel. That's what that word bless simply means, to kneel. The third dimension into the presence of God is to allow your body to demonstrate what your heart and mind already are experiencing. Total is to love God with the mind. You have to think in order to be thankful. To heal is to love God with your heart, the seat of your emotions. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. Singing or shouting or speaking indicates what's going on in my heart. They used to sing a song when I was a boy. It's in my heart. You remember that, Sister Ann? The sweet melody of love divine. It's in my heart. Where's Sister Ann? She know all these songs. You remember this song right here? I know I'm his and what? That's right. He is mine. It's in my heart. How can I? What? Ooh, I'm going to kiss you. Hey. You remind me of my mama. My mama knew all those songs. Much respected. Here's how men do it. When Kirk Franklin see me, he said, much respect to you, much respect to you. Since I can't kiss you, much respect to you. It's in my heart. The sweet melody of love divine. It's in my heart. I know I'm his and he is mine. It's in my heart. How can I help but to sing and shout? That's what Tehillah is. It's in my heart. It's in my heart. But when I enter into the gate through the outer court and make my way to the inner court, not only am I loving on God, God is also now loving on me. Not only am I in Christ, but now Christ is in me. Not only am I singing to God, and Zephaniah says, God come and sing with me. God enters into the picture. As I experience the love of God, it demands or requires or urges in a demonstrative response. Let me say a demonstrative response. You see, I can praise God at the gate and even in the outer court, but I can't really worship God until I get into the inner court, because that's where God is. And now that I'm where God is, I'm in his presence. The psalmist said, once I'm in his presence, I must kneel. Let me hear you say kneel. Psalms 95:6 says, oh, come, let us worship together. Let us brock. Let us bow down. Let us kneel. That's what that Hebrew word is, brock. Kneel, to kneel before the Lord our maker. Isn't it something that we'll kneel a lot of places, but we won't kneel in the church? We got so we won't even kneel beside our beds and pray. But God says, you're in my presence. You are to kneel. This word, brock, also means to salute. In other words, you must demonstrate that you're in the presence of God. Barak means to bless God as an act of adoration. In other words, in the presence of God, you must respond. When we see each other, we respond. Is that right? Not only verbally, but physically. We see each other. I saw a man yesterday, a couple days ago at a car wash. I blew my horn. I responded. Folk wave. I mean, we see each other. We respond. How many know when you get in the presence of God, you ought to do what? If we respond to each other, how can I not respond to the presence? And that's what barak means, to respond, to kneel, to salute, to demonstrate the fact, God, I see you. God, I feel you. God, I'm in your presence. God, I bring you an offering, an offering of praise, a sacrifice. I bring you a gift. I bring you the gift of myself. Here I am, God. I totally surrender my life to you. Even when we give an offering, that's symbolism of us putting ourselves in the offering plate, giving ourselves to God. God is here in the Holy of Holies, so we respond. Praise is the vehicle that takes us to the throne room. Worship is what we do when we get there. The praise drives us to the throne room, and once we get there, now we're ready to bow down and worship. Praise is seeking God. Worship is being found by him. See, you Thanksgiving, Todah, and Tehillah drive you to God, and once you get there, you're ready to Barak, and that's to worship him. Worship is when God comes and joins us in our Todah and Tehillah. When God comes, it is now Barak, blessing his name, kneeling in his presence, lifting holy hands without wrath or doubt. And we took care of wrath in Todah. We took care of doubting in Tehillah. And now we're ready to Barak. And that's to bless his name. Tehillah took care of our doubt and our depression. Barak means now we can bless him. Sometimes people don't praise him because they're depressed. But you go through Tehillah, you're going to be delivered from your depression. Simply because he is God, and besides him, there is none other, we can still bow before him. Psalms 40:16 says, be still and know what? That I am God. I'm in his presence now. I can respond in many ways. One of the ways I might respond, see, everybody might not be shouting and dancing. Don't think folks don't have the Holy Ghost because they ain't shouting and dancing when you're doing it. How many know, I told you praise is a garment. They may not be wearing it. You shouting and dancing and running around, maybe speaking in tongues under your breath, but somebody else is just being still and knowing that God is God. I think it's unfair to force people to worship like you. You just make sure you worship God in spirit and in truth. Their garment may not fit you and your garment may not fit them, but we all ought to have on a praise garment. Have I got a witness? Brother Sims, he's too little to wear my garment. I'm too big for his garment, but we all got to have a praise garment. And sometimes it's not clapping and shouting and dancing. Sometimes God said, I need you to hush. Be quiet. Listen. Be still. And know that I am God. But sometime in the presence of the king, he's the king. Thank God, he says, you can dance before him. You can do whatever you want to do. That's in the Bible. You can shout before him. We can meditate before him. David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be what? Acceptable and pleasing in thy sight. For Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer. He's here. He demands a response. He alone is worthy. So why is worship important? Why is Barak to kneel, to salute important? Close with this. Maybe I need to get me like the Pentecostal preachers. Holler my man.
Hey, praise the Lord. This will work. Worship is important. Listen to this. I'm almost through. I'm taking my seat. Worship is important because you become like what you worship. I need you to get that. Worship, repeat it after me. Worship is important because you become like what you worship. If you worship superficial things, you'll become superficial. You worship trivial things, you become trivial. You worship perverted things, you become perverted. And the devil is so tricky now. He even put perverted stuff on supposedly clean websites. I was on looking at all that Egyptian news the other day, and parenthetically, Isaiah 19 reads in Egypt, it reads like the newspaper. What's going on in Egypt right now, just turn Isaiah 19, it lays it out. But I was looking at the Fox News website, and it has something on there about a Valentine gift. And I ain't got my wife nothing for Valentine yet. But I must be honest, I like the way they look that was advertised in the Valentine gift. Lord have mercy. And so I clicked the button. I said, maybe I'll find my wife something over here. Now, it didn't get nasty, but it's still, you know, they knew how to put something to get your attention on there. And I thought to myself, I got to have the power, even if you're on a clean, I don't ever go to the nasty website, but I've seen the devil show up now on some of the so-called clean websites. And the problem is, once you go down that perverted trail, how many know pornography can be addicting? And if you worship what's perverted, how many know you'll become perverted? Some of y'all just sit up here as nasty as you want to be today. You can't play with the devil. Go get all them nasty pictures out your house. Get that nasty movies out your house. Because you become like what you worship. It'll take your heart away from God. It'll take your heart away from your wife. But if you worship the true God, how many know your life will become godly?
You've been listening to the teaching and preaching ministry of Pastor Dwight McKissick from the Cornerstone Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas. To purchase this and other teachings from the pulpit library of Pastor Dwight McKissick, call 817-468-0083 or log on to cbcarlington.org, where you'll also find a link to our Facebook page where you can get daily encouragement and information. Once again, thanks for listening to Cornerstone Baptist Church, a ministry built on faith, family, and fellowship.